God bless you today, beloved, in the beautiful, marvelous name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I was listening to yesterday's devotion on righteousness and the difference between the righteousness that was of the law, which was a behavior, and the true righteousness of God that is through Jesus Christ. And I realized how much I was throwing out in that devotion was from so many years of different revelation, understanding, and I thought that's way too scattered for most people to really fully conceive what I was saying because there's so many things thrown out at once. And so I really felt like the Holy Spirit just gave me a peace and a stillness today to come and to focus on one thing for you because this is the seed. I can't give you a revelation. You can't give me one. Only the Holy Spirit could do that. But what you and I can do is that we can plant seeds. We are the sower, but God gives the increase. And we cannot plant a seed properly without the anointing and the direction of the Holy Spirit. So today, by the grace of God, I want to plant a seed into our spirits. And focus in on one simple concept and then expound on that concept. The righteousness of God is a substance. The righteousness that comes through the law is a behavior. That's the one thing I want you to get. If you can really get that in your spirit, then the Word of God won't confuse. And it'll make so much more sense as you study it. Any time that the Bible's talking about the righteousness of behavior, it's talking about the righteousness of the law. It's not true righteousness, though God counts it as righteousness, and will even be blessed for doing good and doing what God says to do. Unfortunately, that won't really fully deliver us and save us. It won't even qualify us to enter into the kingdom of God. It's a sad truth, but even if we do everything God says to do, we're going to err in some area, even if we only do it on the inside. Why? Because of what we are. It's not what we do, it's what we are. This is what I want to zero in on and help you to get it, help you to understand. The righteousness that is of the law, the righteousness that is obeying God's commandments, even if it's in the New Testament, obey God's commandments, such as love one another, even as I've loved you. This is my commandment. Now, in the context, when he said that, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Listen, every command of God is the law of God. Even if it's in the New Testament, stay with me for a second because you really need to get this and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to conceive this seed and may it grow into great revelation in your spirit. The law is simply God telling Adam what to do. That's it. That's the law. God commanding Adam what to do. Adam, the life of Adam. The life that came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When Adam fell, he lost the life of God. What he really lost was the righteousness of God. He lost the Zoe, the life of God. He lost it. He did not have true righteousness. So, with his knowledge of good and evil, God commands him what to do. And that's the law of God. That is not limited to 10 commandments, or even however many I've heard people say, well, if you add up all the commandments in the Old Covenant, there's over 200. It's not even limited to that. It also includes every commandment of Jesus, every commandment of God in the New Testament. I know some people will think, oh, God, bro, that's not true. The law is the Old Testament. It's because they don't understand the spiritual truth. The spiritual truth is the law is not Ten Commandments. The law is God telling the life of Adam that is not righteous, telling the life of Adam to behave righteously. That's all that the law is, God commanding man what to do. And no one's able to do it perfectly. Even if they appear to do it perfectly on the outside, they're not perfect on the inside. Why? Because of what they are. They are not righteousness. They are iniquity. They are sinners. Our natural man is not the righteousness of God. So watch, the righteousness of God is a substance. It's not a behavior. The righteousness that comes from obeying God is a behavior that is not true righteousness. Even if I've heard many people say, because they have no real revelation of the cross, they actually say that the new covenant, we only have two laws to follow. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the new covenant. That is the farthest thing from the truth that there really could ever be. Because every time that Jesus says that, he is summarizing the old covenant law. Every single time, if you go look it up. When Jesus says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, every time, he is summarizing the law of God given in the Old Testament. How do you read the law? Jesus says. What is the law? To love God and love your neighbor, even if you look up the Ten Commandments. The first four are about you loving God. And then the last six are about you loving your neighbor. So Jesus just summarizes the entire law. The entire law and all the prophets, everything God has ever commanded man, can be summed up in two things. To love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the law. Everything, now get this today, everything that God has ever commanded us to do. Even today, if God commands you to do something in the Spirit, it's going to be about loving God and loving your neighbor. Every command in the New Testament is the same as the old. Every command of God is to love God and love your neighbor. Look up every command you can find in the New Testament. Even look up the commands that Paul gives, the directions that he gives and the commands that he gives to obey God. Every single time, it's the same thing. It's love God and love your neighbor. Why? Because that's the law. It's not the new covenant law. It's the law. The law still exists. When the Bible says it waxes old and is ready to perish, it's not gone yet. Why? Because the life, don't miss this, the life that it was made for and that it was given to still exist. That's the life of Adam, the first Adam. It's the natural life that we have from Adam. That life still exists. Therefore, the law is still exist. Why? Because that law was made for that life. Now listen, why was it made for that life? Was it because God expected that life to be truly righteous? Was it really that that man was going to obey everything God said and get into the kingdom? No. According to the Apostle Paul, the real reason that God commands our natural life to be obedient is to reveal to us that we are not. It is to show us what we are. Even when Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." Listen, Jesus is God. He did say it's a new commandment, but it's a commandment. A commandment is a commandment. It's not different than the law of the old covenant. It's the same thing. This is my commandment, that you love one. Why was it a new commandment? Because Jesus said, I want you. He didn't say the new commandments to love each other. That's what all the last six of the Ten Commandments were. The new commandment, he said, is to love each other as I have loved you. Why was that a new commandment? Because God came down himself and demonstrated true love. Then God told us, this is a new commandment for you. Do it like I did it. Now, which human being has ever done it like he did it, even since Jesus came. It's the exact same thing as the old covenant. Exactly when Jesus says, obey me, Jesus says, this is my commandment. This is my new commandment for you. Love each other as I've loved you. It's the same thing if we receive that commandment with our natural life and we try to do it, we will fail. Every commandment of God is to reveal what we are and why we had to die. Now watch this. When Jesus gives his commandments, he tells us, apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in me, for apart from me, you can do nothing. We are the branches, friend. We're not the vine. His life is to flow through us. So at the same time, he's giving them an impossible task. I want you to love in the exact same way I've loved. I want you to give up your all for the brethren. It's an impossible task for any human being to do it because of what we are, because we are not the righteousness of God. He is. He is. Now let's get to this for a second. The true righteousness of God is not a behavior, though it will manifest with behaviors, but the true righteousness of God is a person, or more accurately, it is a substance. The righteousness of God is a substance. This is why I gave you these two things of scriptures here today. The first one I posted is two different scriptures, and I really want you to meditate on this if you can in the spirit. Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything you need will be added to you. I'm not going to break all that down right now because of what he was talking about was food, clothing, so forth. But here's what I want to focus on. Jesus was telling them to seek the righteousness of God, to search it out. And then whenever he talks about the Jews and the reason that they did not really find or have true righteousness, it's because they were ignorant concerning the righteousness of God. They weren't searching for the righteousness of God. They were trying to be righteous for God. Now watch this. When Jesus says to seek the righteousness of God, he was talking to Jews. He was talking to Pharisees, Sadducees, disciples. He was talking to those who had sought to be righteous for God, but they had all failed to be truly righteous, even though many of them had righteous behavior. They weren't truly righteous on the inside. So Jesus is saying to those who were trying to do God's will to seek God's righteousness. He didn't say try to be righteous for God. That was their error. They could never be righteous for God. And God gave them the commandments to show them that they were not truly righteous. Many of them thought that they were. So when Jesus came, he exposed what we are. Not just what we do, what we are. That's why he said, you've heard it taught, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I tell you, if you do it on the inside, you're an adulterer. Well, some people are sitting there thinking, well, I don't do that. And then he said, you've heard it taught, thou shalt not commit murder. But I tell you, if you've ever hated your brother, you're a murderer in your heart. Oh my God, what is hate? Impatience. You've hated people that just pull out in front of you in traffic. I mean, friend, we all hate. It's what we are. Hate is selfishness. Hate is to despise another, to be impatient with another, to exalt ourselves above another, to declare we're right and they're wrong. Our hatred is what we are. It's not just what we do. That's why Jesus said, even if you don't kill somebody on the outside, you're still a murderer on the inside. The law, thou shalt not commit murder, was to expose what you really are. It's what God is trying to show us. Thou shalt not bear false witness. It's to expose that we are all on the inside. We're all liars. We all are. So God uses the law to reveal to us we are not the righteousness of God. And then he sends, don't miss this, he sends the righteousness of God into the earth and shows it to people. Why? Because the righteousness of God is a substance. It's a life. It has many names. Zoe is the life of God. Jesus Christ is the life of God. He is the way, he's the truth, he's the life. He is the righteousness of God. That's why it says in John chapter 16, when Jesus says the Holy Spirit will come and reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you won't be able to see me anymore. Now watch this. The Holy Spirit's going to show the world righteousness. The believer, he's going to show them righteousness because Jesus cannot be seen with our eyes. All Jesus is saying is, I am the righteousness of God. But you can't see me, so the Holy Spirit's going to show you what I am. He's going to take what I am. He's going to show you what I am. He's going to reveal it and make it known to you, is what Jesus said. Jesus is the righteousness of God. As long as we are trying to be righteous for God, we will never really enter in to the true righteousness of God. Let me quote that scripture in Romans 10. For I bear them record. He's talking about the Jews. Oh, if I could just, man, I've done it in the past. But Romans 10 is so amazing. It's breaking down the difference of the old and the new covenant. You've got to have a ton of revelation from the Spirit and spend a lot of time with him for years to really get every verse and what it's saying. But let me just quote this portion here because it emphasizes what I'm saying today. Romans 10 verse 2, for I bear them record, he's talking about the Jews, I testify that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. We talked about the knowledge of God. Oh my goodness. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, it means they do not know about it, and they go about to establish their own righteousness, they don't submit themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Believes what? Believes what he accomplished. That's why if you keep reading the chapter, if we believe in our spirit, God raised him from the dead. It's talking about understanding what really happened there. And we confess with our mouth that he is the Lord. It doesn't say make him the Lord of our life. It says we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. What does it mean? His life is the right-hand seat life. Oh, my goodness. Praise God. I'm going to get off on that. So let me stay right here. By the grace of God, Holy Spirit, help me. Help us to hear, to zero in on and focus on what you want us to hear. The righteousness of God is not a behavior. It is a life. It is a substance. That's why it's called true righteousness. That's why the Word of God says that you were created in true righteousness. It says in Ephesians 4:24, we have put on the new man. This is the life of Jesus, which after God, just like God, it's created in righteousness and true holiness. It's why the Bible said he was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he became what we are, unrighteousness, iniquity. That's what he did on the cross, so that we could become what he is, the righteousness of God. Praise God. It's a nature change. Sin is a nature. It's not a behavior. Sins are a behavior. Oh, goodness. Let's focus in on this because these two concepts are the same thing. A sinner is a person who is by nature bent. They are naturally a sinner, even if they don't do anything wrong on the outside. even if they're born with not being able to talk, not being able to move, if they're still born but they're still alive, and only their brain is alive and they're on a machine, they're still a sinner. It's what they are. It's not what they do. It's a substance. Sin is a substance. The same thing for righteousness. If sin tries to be righteous, will it ever truly be? Of course not. If righteousness tried to be sin, would it ever be? Of course not. It can't be. Why? It's what it is. It's, I don't know, a silly example, but it's like a vacuum sweeper trying to be a car trying to be a vacuum. They can't do that. They're two totally different things. The Bible said Jesus knew no sin. Until he became sin, until he was made to be sin, he didn't know it. What does it mean? He didn't know about it? He didn't know what it was? Of course he knew about it. Of course he knew what it was. He preached about it all the time, but he never knew it. Why? Because he is the righteousness of God. Sin is not a behavior. Sin is a nature. It's what we are. I remember God showed me that. It changed the way I see sin. I'm not just a sinner. I am sin in the natural. I am sin in the life of the first Adam. But in the life of Jesus Christ, if I'm born again, then the life inside of me is the righteousness of God. So now how do I walk in the new man and put off the old man? According to the word, it's through revelation of truth, hating my own life, understanding the cross, understanding why sin, why I had to die. Why did sin have to die? Because it destroys God's kingdom. Whatever it touches, it corrupts it. Sin had to be crucified so that righteousness could reign. Oh my goodness. Our life had to die so that his life could reign from the right hand over all power and all principality. So what does this mean for you and I? What it means is true salvation doesn't come through trying to behave. True salvation comes from a revelation of what Jesus really is and how to lay hold of it, how to believe in him, how to understand what he did, and to confess and enter in by faith to what he has accomplished on our behalf. This is why, friend, God is not looking for you to behave good so you can get to heaven. This is why many of the worst behaving people will make it, and many of the best behaving people will not. Now, friend, is this an excuse to misbehave? Of course not. There's so much false teaching about grace out there that basically grace is being taught that your natural man has grace, so that even though you sin and even though you mess up all the time, God loves you anyway. Friend, that is not the grace of God. The true grace of God, if you look at it, the true grace, anybody walking in true grace has dominion over sin. It doesn't mean they sin and they're not counted guilty. It means they do not sin. The true grace of God is the true righteousness of God flowing. If you have grace, if you're under grace, then you have dominion. Sin has no power over you and you don't even know it. Praise God. You don't know sin when you're walking in the righteousness of God. People's looking at pornography and doing all kinds of crazy things and hating other people and walking in their own life in many different ways, not truly loving God with all their heart, not truly loving their neighbors, themselves, everybody. People walking in their own life and saying, oh, well, I'm under grace, brother. It's under grace, brother. They have no idea how the devil has duped them, how he's lied to them. The grace of God is not for the first Adam. The cross, death, is for the first Adam, not grace. Death. Now, there is mercy. Thank God. There's mercy. But the only thing for the first Adam is death, and that is mercy. Praise God. There's mercy, but it's death. God did not come to bless your life. He came to crucify it and to give you his. Very simple. God didn't come to embrace sin. He didn't come to love sin. He didn't come to bless sin. He came to put sin to death. That's what you are. And he did do that so that you could, very important, you could, every verse says you could, even John 3:16, that you might be. If you believe, you might have, you could have. Everything is an opportunity, but it doesn't mean you will. He became sin and put it to death so that you could be made his righteousness. But the only way that will happen is very simple. You've got to hate the sin. What does it mean? It doesn't mean you've got to hate your bad behavior. This is where we are so much in darkness. As human beings, we don't understand. The righteousness of God is not a behavior. The righteousness of God is a person. It's a life. It's a substance. And sin is not a behavior. Sins are behaviors. But sin is not a behavior. It's a person. It's a life. It's a substance. You've got to hate the sin. What does it mean? You've got to hate the life of the first Adam. And I mean, you really got to hate it. You genuinely have to despise it, or you cannot have the life, the righteousness of God, the life of Jesus. You can't have it. You can't have sin and righteousness. God is not here to add righteousness to your sin. He doesn't add righteousness to you. You had to die. You died. Sin was crucified so that you could become, you could be made the righteousness of God. So you've got to understand sin is not a behavior. It's what you are. If you're sinning and you're focused on your behaviors and you're trying to improve yourself for God and you feel guilty and shame and you're struggling and up and down, the reason is you don't understand that sin is not a behavior. If you would realize that sin is not a behavior, it's a person, it's a substance, then you would stop trying to defeat it. You would stop trying to overcome it. And you would understand that he did defeat it and he did overcome it. And if you'll believe what he did, then you can be made. You can participate in his divine nature. You can walk in his righteousness. It's not a behavior. When Jesus Christ begins to manifest in you, there's no effort to try not to sin. It's not a behavior, it's a person. Praise God. And the only way that that can ever happen is to truly believe what he did and understand it. And it's death, it's burial, and it's resurrection. I understood some of the depth of this for a long time. We are the righteousness of God, and I preached so revelatory on how much we're the righteous and we shouldn't be sin conscious and all these other things. But what I was missing in many times, I was missing the death side of the cross. I did not fully understand that I had to genuinely hate my own life. Not yesterday, not before I got saved. I have to hate my life now. Jesus said daily. You don't take up your cross 20 years ago. Well, I got saved, brother, 20 years ago. I hated my life, but now I love my life because it's a godly life. It's a religious life. No, friend, he was saying hate your life even if you're the best Pharisee, even if you're the best teacher of the law, even if everything you do is about God, you've still got to hate your own life. When? Now. You've got to hate it now. You can't conjure up that hate. God has to show you what it is or you won't hate it. Friend, we all love a stranger, but when you start hanging out with somebody and they're wicked and they're hurting you and hurting others, you learn to hate them. Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's the fact. That's the truth. You learn to hate them. We can all love a stranger, but we can't love our family we live with. That's just how it works. It's easy to love a stranger. Why? You haven't seen their behavior. There's no way that you can hate your own life until God shows you what it really is. And that is a painful journey. And many people can't even take it. So they're going to have very little in the kingdom if they even make it there. They'll have very little because they can't take the revealing. They can't take it until the point that they really understand. And they really hate their own life and really despise it. It's not a matter of hating you. It's a matter of hating everybody that's born of Adam. You've got to hate your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your wife, your husband, your children, every single person that has the life of Adam. Why? You've got to hate that life. You're not hating the person, you're hating the life. I guess the person has the life, but you understand what I mean. It's not hating an individual. A lot of people hate Hillary Clinton, hate Barack Obama, hate Donald Trump. Friend, that's not what Jesus is talking about. If you don't hate Donald Trump, you can't be my disciple. No, what he's saying is if you don't hate every person born of Adam, if you don't see what that life is, friend, Christians are so enamored with certain people. They're just like the world. They're idolaters. They love different singers, different preachers, different movies, different actors, different stars. They royal family, the Kardashians. I mean, all kinds of stuff that many, many Christians, they idolize people. They idolize preachers. They idolize worshipers. They idolize all kinds of people. They even idolize Moses. They even idolize King David. Friend, if they were here, they would slap you in the face for doing that. Listen, we're not righteous. They don't never ever should we idolize Moses or David. I want to be like Moses. No, I don't want to be like Moses. He didn't qualify. Amen. I don't want to be like David. Oh my God, look what happened to him. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be like Solomon. Oh, a lot of people want to be like Solomon. They want his money. I don't want to be like those guys. I don't want to be like any good person in the No, friend. I know what they are. They know what they were. Now they're born of God. Amen. Most of them that believed then, they had to find out when Jesus went and preached to them after the cross. He went and told them about the cross, and they had to understand it. And they had to reject their own life. They had to see what it is. And so the righteousness of God is a substance, friend. It's a life. It's not a behavior. And many people live in condemnation because they think that sin is a behavior. They struggle with lust. They struggle with their temper. They struggle with bitterness. They struggle with appetites. They struggle with unbelief. They struggle with fear. They struggle with all kinds of things. And they walk in condemnation because they think that sin is a behavior and that God is not pleased with them. They're partially right. God is not pleased with them. He's not pleased with you and I in our natural life, and He never will be. All of our righteousness is like a used menstrual cloth in His presence. That's what filthy rags means. If you look it up in Hebrew, used menstrual cloth, a soiled menstrual cloth is what all of our righteousness, Isaiah said, is as filthy rags, a soiled menstrual cloth in His presence. That's what we are. Of course He's not pleased with us. And that's good to know that. But He is pleased with Jesus. And it's better to know that. Oh, hallelujah. You've got to know first, He's not pleased with you, with your life, or your behavior. It doesn't really please Him. It doesn't really satisfy His command for perfection, His command for true holiness and righteousness. But He is perfectly pleased with Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the righteousness of God. He's the substance of God's own life. This is why you've got to hate your own so you can participate in His. It's not a behavior. Coming to God is not obeying what God says to do so your life will be blessed. That is a twist. It's not the gospel. It is darkness. It is Adam continuing to walk in the darkness because he cannot see the light. He doesn't know the difference between his life and the life of Jesus. God did not call you to serve Jesus. He didn't even call you to follow Jesus, so to speak. He called you to be Jesus. He called you to enter into the life of Jesus and to become one with Jesus because He is the righteousness of God. He called you to know why you had to die and to believe you did. This is what baptism is about. Baptism's not becoming a Christian. Baptism is identifying with His death, with His burial, with His resurrection. It's knowing I died. It's knowing that my life is in the grave, never to come up again. And the life that I walk in is the life of Jesus. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Therefore, the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Oh, that'd be good to throw this in here at the end. We don't live by faith in the Son of God. No. No, friend. You cannot get Zoe, the life of God, by having faith in the life of God. The only way you can walk in the life of God is by having the faith of the life of God. If I died and the life inside of me is Jesus Christ, I don't live by Jeff's faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jeff died. I live by the faith of Jesus Christ because I am no more. Now, Paul did not believe he magically disappeared when he got saved. He continued to confess, I know there's no good thing in me. He was speaking spiritually. In my spirit, I am the righteousness of God. Paul died. It doesn't mean Paul's not still breathing. Or Saul of Tarsus was his name. It doesn't mean Saul is not still breathing. It doesn't mean he's not still walking around. It means spiritually he died on that cross. The only way I can experience the power of that is to believe that it happened, to know why it had to happen. This is not a spiritual thing that feels good and is, oh, hallelujah, I died with Jesus. No, friend, it is a thing to understand how corrupt you are. Why did you deserve that? Why do you have to reject your own life every day? Why do you have to hate it? You have to see what it is. Oh, my God, when you see it, it's devastating. It really is. And many cannot handle it. And most will never really see it. Most will not see what they truly are until they go to hell. I don't say that lightly at all. Most, I saw this in the spirit as God was showing me what I am. I began to weep and weep and weep because I realized the only reason I could see it is because of the fire that I was going through. And all of a sudden, I understood what hell is. Oh, my goodness. Only the fire can expose what you really are. The most religious person who's ever lived, who's never, ever taken the name of the Lord in vain, when they get into the fire, they will cuss him as passionately as they can. Why? Because the fire will reveal what they are. And only the fire can reveal what we are. And most people will never know what they are until they enter into the fires of hell. And then they will find out what they really are. But the Holy Spirit's here, so we don't have to go there. The only way we can escape that fire is to go through the fire here and to find out the truth and to believe in Jesus, to believe in the life of God, to believe in the righteousness of God, and to seek it, and to understand what we are, why we had to die, and to fully reject our own life. That's the only way into the kingdom. Oh my goodness, friend. May God open our eyes to the fact that sin is not a behavior. It is a life. It is a substance. It results in behaviors, of course, but it's not a behavior. A sinner is not just someone who doesn't do good. It's what they are. Righteousness is not a behavior. Of course, it results in behaviors, but it's not a behavior. It's not what somebody does. It's what somebody is or they are not. In Jesus' name, may the Holy Spirit help you to understand the difference. When you open the Bible, and you read that Lot was righteous and his righteous soul tormented him because he lived in Sodom. Friend, Lot grew a vineyard, got drunk, had sex with his daughters. Yet he was righteous. Oh my goodness. He was righteous according to the law. What does it mean his righteous soul is tormented? The righteousness of the first Adam is behavior. He didn't like the things they were doing in Sodom. It bothered him. It grieved him. The immorality. Though he was not righteousness, he was not truly righteous. He was only righteous based on the old covenant law. He was Adam. I'm using him just as one example. Everybody where it says, when you open the Bible, it says Zechariah and Elizabeth that had John the Baptist. It said they were righteous in the eyes of God. According to the law, friend, it wasn't that they were Jesus. They weren't the life of God. They weren't the righteousness of God. They didn't even know what it was. God had to show them what it was. John the Baptist didn't know what it was. He was the greatest of all people born of woman, but Jesus says he's not even part of the kingdom yet. The least in the kingdom is greater than he. John doubted Jesus. John's like, is he the one or should we look for another? He didn't understand. He thought righteousness was a behavior. And so he didn't understand what Jesus was doing because Jesus was healing people that weren't behaving well. And that, according to John, that's not how it works. According to John, he was old covenant minded. You have to behave well to get healed. You have to do everything God says to do for the sicknesses of Egypt to be kept off of you. And yet everybody who touched Jesus was being healed, and they hadn't done anything yet. They hadn't done anything good. They hadn't behaved. It was all a picture. It's not God saying you can walk around healed though you behave like an idiot. No. It's when you walk in the life of Jesus, all the sickness goes away. Praise God. Why? Because that sickness is attached to sin. That's why we get sick, friend. It's not what we do. It's what we are. Oh, my goodness. We're going too far. Holy Ghost, we ain't going far enough, actually. But may God give us grace in this short devotion to really get this seed inside of us, friend. Righteousness is not a behavior. It's a substance. If you're misbehaving, then you need to seek out the substance, because something's missing. If you're misbehaving, you're walking in the wrong life. How do you stop doing that? By revelation, by believing. The Holy Spirit's here to help you believe what he accomplished. He's not here to help you behave well so you can get to heaven. You have to have a real deep insight to understand these things. Even when he says those who live like this, those who live in fornication, adultery, I believe it's in Galatians, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit, and that's a big S, is love and joy, Galatians chapter 5. Those who live like this won't inherit the kingdom. What is he actually saying? Those who walk in the natural life of Adam, they won't inherit the kingdom. But those who walk in the Spirit will inherit the kingdom. God's here to help you learn how to walk in the Spirit. That's what Romans chapter 8's about. If you don't put to death the misdeeds of the body by the Spirit. He's not talking about if you don't behave well. He's talking about if you don't enter into what Jesus accomplished by listening to the Spirit show you. If your mind is set on the flesh, it's death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life. It's Zoe, and it's peace. The Holy Spirit's here to show you what was accomplished so you can believe it, so you can confess it, and you can begin to experience the power of it. So the resurrection can begin to flow through you. So the righteousness of God can be manifest inside of you. He became sin so that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, beloved, this is wonderful. May God bless you with the grace to conceive the seed. And may you continue to cultivate that in the Spirit until it grows up and takes over the whole garden. Oh, praise God. In Jesus' name, God bless you today.